welcome to another episode of the Collapsing Game Shelf Podcast, a podcast by a group of friends with way too many board games. I'm Tom, and I'm joined by
Adam
and Debbie.
And today we are trying something different, doing this completely in separate houses, opposite ends of the city.
Yeah, we're trying to do it remote, you know, see how that works out.
Trying to join the digital revolution or whatever. And on that note, we're playing we played Potion Explosion, which has nothing to do with being remote, but does involve magic. So, and that technology's kind of like magic.
Really fancy magic.
Yeah, so this is a game we've all played before, so...
A lot of times. I think all of us have played this many, many times.
It's probably no spoiler that it's kind of an old favorite around here, otherwise we probably wouldn't all have a copy of it. True. Anyway... The back of the, there's actually two parts of the back of the box. Do you want me to read the fluffy one or the one that actually tells you what you're supposed to be doing? Or
well, both? I think the fluffy one is what people are like, this is what's going to draw people in. So, I mean, maybe give us a, can you put the two of them together? Can you mix them like a potion?
No.
They're pretty good. All right, good answer.
We like fluff.
All right, here comes the fluff. Dear students, it's time for the final exams of the potions class. The rules are always the same. Take an ingredient marble from the dispenser and watch the others fall. If you connect marbles of the same color, they explode, and you can take them too. Complete your potions using the marbles you collect and drink them to unleash their magical power. Remember, though, that to win the Student of the Year award, being quick won't be enough. You'll also need to brew the most valuable potions. Good luck. And it's signed Albedus Bumblescore, Headmaster of the Horriblorium Sorcery Academy for witty witches and wizards.
This has been a masterclass on how to avoid getting sued.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. This got released right around the same time as like Harry Potter was really big, right?
It got released in 2015.
So no.
Yeah, I think it was slightly later than the whole Harry Potter craze. But I mean, I don't know that the Harry Potter craze has ever really died out. I still think that there's plenty of wizards out there.
Yeah, that shit's still going strong as far as I understand.
Well, that's the one thing I remember when we opened this box. It was the one thing that we noticed like immediately. Is it's the epitome of trying to tap into that money bag that exists.
What you're not trying to say that Albulbarus Bumblescore isn't a nod to a certain quote unquote headmaster at a certain quote unquote school of wizardry. Is that what you're trying to say?
Rude.
Well, I'm not taking a stab at you. I'm just saying that like this is about as blatant a ripoff of an IP as I've ever seen.
But it's you know, it's done in a way that it's clearly a ripoff, and like it's obviously taking the piss here. So, and I got the name wrong. It's Albedus Humblescore, headmaster of the Horriblorum Sorcery Academy. So I think I might have got that wrong because I cannot read cursive for shit.
That's not normal cursive. I'm going to give you an out here because I thought that said Bumblescore too, and I'm also looking at it.
I feel a lot better now. So yeah, the rule book is this colorful, very stylish looking thing that just has lots of class about it. You know, there's all these like pictures of Albedus Humblescore here telling you all the stuff that you need to know. It's quite cute. The game itself is pretty simple. I think the explanation probably takes longer than it really should because you sort of have to go through all the different potions. But the general idea is that you assemble this dispenser. You put all these like marbles into it. One of them is Unicorn Tears, which is blue, Dragon Smoke, which is red, Ogre Mucus, which is black.
So gross.
Fairy Dandruff, which is yellow.
That's also gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But really, this is like the epitome of Candy Crush, like in your hand.
It is a
old school Candy Crush. It
is, in a sense, a matching game. There is a matching component to this game, which... definitely ties into the Candy Crush fad.
Yeah, and it's just a basic human need to make sure two colors hit each other. That's what it taps into, is this primal urge to make things go clank and hit each other and have the colors match up.
I agree.
The game really, like, it does, you can tell that it's doing a very good job of picking at very specific mechanics and very specific themes that are quite popular, were quite popular. I mean, it's 2020 now, and these themes and these mechanics are still quite popular. Like, there's still people playing Candy Crush or a spinoff of it. There's still people who are talking about certain wizards in certain academies.
Way to dance around it there.
Well, I'm just trying to keep us, you know, I'm just trying to keep us in business here. That's all.
Keeping us free of the IP police or something.
That's correct. That's right.
Yeah. So the way you set up the game is you have your, like I said, your marbles are in this dispenser. They're all just sort of chilling there. You make stacks of these potions. There's a few different kinds, which we might go over during the thoughts, or I might do it during the explanation. There's kind of a lot of them to go over, and it's not super important for the overview. Everybody gets a couple of these potions to start with. There's some starter ones that are a little bit easier. There's like fewer dots on them. But every potion in the game has four or more spaces where you are going to put your marbles. And those spaces also have colors on them. So certain colors of marbles have to go on certain spaces. Everybody has room for two potions. And the basic gameplay is that you, on your turn, you reach in and you grab a marble. The marble that you pick is going to be the one that you get for sure. And as the marbles clack together, because the dispenser is sort of sloped, I don't know what kind of grade do you think is on there, Adam?
Oh, that's a real solid like 1% grade, you know?
Yeah, so it's not gonna kill anyone. No. But you take the marble out, they clack together, and if two marbles of the same color clack together, you get to take those marbles as well. And if that causes two or more marbles to clack together, you get to take all of the marbles. Like, you just keep taking marbles that are clacking together until you just have what I think is scientifically known as a shit ton of marbles.
Oh, it's a ridiculous amount.
Yeah, it's just an unhealthy amount of marbles. You get to
take it certainly marbles. Can be, yes.
Yeah, you can take these marbles and you get to put them on your potions. I'm trying to remember if it's like you can put all of them down or only some of them, but you take the marbles, correct me if I'm wrong, you get to take any of the marbles that match with the colors on the potions, you get to put them on there. If they fill up the whole potion, you get to score that potion, and it's also available for its special effect. You can score at most two potions a turn, and anything that's any marbles that you have left over, you have this like beaker on the side that you can put up to three marbles in reserve for the next turn. At the end of your turn, you refill your little potion stands with top of one of these five stacks. You get to pick whichever one you want. So depending on how many points you want to score, because all the potions are worth different numbers of points, as well as they all have different powers, you get to pick, you know, however many of those that you filled and put them into your thing for the next turn. And you continue on like this until I think you've ran out of skill tokens, which is kind of the, you know, you've either got three of one kind of potion or one of each kind of potion in your thing. You get to take a skill token, which is sort of like the professor coming over and giving you a, I don't know, an award or something.
A real firm pat on the back.
It gives you a sick high five. Yeah, the number of skill tokens depends on how many players you have. So, you know, more players means there's going to be more moves going on. So there's more tokens available, whereas fewer numbers, there's fewer tokens. So the game doesn't take forever. Regarding the special potions, each potion that you complete gives you a special one-use power that can be used on your turn. You can use as many potions as you want, but each potion can only be used once. And they give you a special ability. I'm just going to quickly see if I can rip through them here. One of them is you get to take one ingredient of your choice from the dispenser with no explosions. One is like you get to steal stuff from somebody else's beaker. One is that you get to take two ingredients if the colors don't match. No explosions there either. One, you get to treat all of the things that are sitting in your beaker as a wild. Ugh, God, there's a lot of these. There's one where you get to take activate a potion you've already used. I don't know. You can look through these, but there's like all sorts of stuff that lets you sort of break the one rule of the game, which is picking up an ingredient and putting in a potion, right? So there's all these which mix up things, which are pretty fun to play with. And sometimes like this game can be deceptively difficult to make a decision with.
Yeah. Oh. I think that there's definitely some analysis paralysis, victimization that comes out of this game.
Absolutely. And one note is the potions. So you only play with six of them. So you six. Yeah. You choose six of the eight. So then every game is kind of different. It can be very different because each of the different kinds of potion effects can kind of alter the game in different ways, especially when you start getting into the expansion, because they do tend to have a little bit more powerful potions, I think.
Yeah, as it turns out, there's actually two expansions for this game out right now. One is called The Fifth Ingredient, which adds, believe it or not, a fifth ingredient. So normally there's... Yeah, I know. Weird, right? So normally there's just red, yellow, blue, and black. And then in the fifth ingredient, it adds white, I do believe. And I cannot remember for the life of me what the name of that ingredient is.
Ghost ectoplasm.
And then in the next expansion called The Sixth Student, which, to be fair, I didn't even realize had been released. Like, they haven't... This is not something that's really been promoted much, even within board game circles, which I think is kind of weird. That also, The Sixth Student includes the materials required to take the game from maxing out at four players and instead maxing it out at six players. It adds another new ingredient called Mandragora Leaf, and it adds a few new potions. It adds two new types of potions. Just like in the fifth ingredient, I believe it adds two more potions as well. Two more types of potion.
Four potions.
Adds four more types of potions, which is super impressive. I mean, it's always nice to have more variety, especially in a game like this that can tend to feel the effects of what I like to call diminishing returns, which is kind of like, as you play it more and more, the replayability really kind of like stymies a little bit. By adding new different types of potions and still limiting to be like, oh, you can only play with so many types within your game, I think it adds that increased replayability without adding, you know, mechanics that are overly complex, or, you know, kind of have a feeling that's like, man, they really just tried to shoehorn this in here because they needed to try and find replayability.
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely agree with what you're saying in terms of the diminishing returns too. Like, this game is a great one to get people excited about playing board games because the rules are in general really simple. It's super tactile. Things clacking together and making a shitload of noise is always a lot of fun. You know, you can get more and more complicated with the potions, but like the way the game works never really changes. So it's good to, like, you can get new people involved, or you can get people who have played it involved and usually have a pretty good time. But yeah, the sort of like excitement is usually the first few games you play are like really great because things are clacking around and you're drinking potions all over the place. And then as you go on, you're kind of like, okay, well, is there any more that's going on here? And for sure, like, the way they've done it by adding more potions and more colors and more players is definitely the way to go.
So there's one other thing that they did, which I super appreciated. So they have professors in the fifth ingredient expansion. And so these are like, basically you can add like a special rule to the game if you want to. And there's one that, honestly, I swear to God, kills me every time, but it's hilarious, is during the game, if you ever let a marble touch the table, you get penalized. And so this just kind of adds like an extra like stupid tactile piece that really makes you angry because you don't think you're that clumsy, but you really are.
It's one of those things that like board games do that video games can't, is like just your clumsy bumblefuck way of going through the world, really screwing things up and like building rules around that. That sort of thing is really, really fun to me.
It's nice that this game, just to kind of further on what Tom said a little earlier here, is that it's nice that this game has this tactile element to it. And it's, again, we're talking about colorful components. They're glass marbles. Like they're nice. They're marbles that I remember from being a kid. I mean, maybe that's showing my age, but whatever, it is what it is. But they're these colorful marbles in this tray. And then whenever you score a potion or complete a potion, you get to scoop up this small handful of marbles and drop them back in the top of the tray, where they roll around and fall back into the dispenser and stuff like that.
That is Adam's favorite part of this game.
It is. Because it makes a ton of noise. The most flourish. Marbles are clacking around, and this is bringing back nostalgia of my childhood. Again, maybe that makes me old, whatever. but it's stuff like that people, if you play this at a board game convention or of some description, like people will come over to watch you play because it has, one, brightly colored components, two, an audible factor to it where it is, you know, glass marbles clicking together instead of, okay, well, I roll a couple dice and maybe move my pawn along or I shuffle up a deck of cards. I mean, those are sounds that you're used to hearing while playing board games. And of course, then there's the hooting and hollering and jubilation or dismay of having your turn go right or wrong. But this is something you don't hear that often. And you're like, what is that sound? And it's these marbles clacking together. And then you look and it's all these brightly colored orbs and people are putting them on these weirdly colored potions. And then when you score them, you take the marbles off and put them back in the dispenser and you flip this potion over to this other interestingly colored side. And then now you can use that to give yourself a special game breaking ability. Like there's so much here. There's so much here in such a small package.
Yeah, it's definitely a really generous like setup. And it's because of how fun it is to just like grab stuff and watch them clack together and grab stuff out. Like I never really felt like I was having a bad time, even when I was obviously getting shit kicked at the game. You know, I've had my parents have played this game. My, you know, non-board gaming friends have played this game and liked it. It's always been a really fun time. Again, you can sort of get as deep as you want with the potions and stuff. But even then, if you don't really understand what's going on with them, like you might lose, but you're still having fun sort of pulling these things out of it and watching everything fire everywhere.
And there definitely is some interaction with the people you're playing with, right? Like this is, you know, it is important kind of what you're doing in front of you, but there's a big piece of it that, you know, you're looking at how the marbles are set up and you're hoping that somebody doesn't see, you know, something that you see, because it sounds really stupid, but when you're looking at this board, it is extremely easy to miss like the greatest play ever.
Giant runs of marbles smashing together.
Yeah. Like how do you miss that? I don't know, but it's so easy to do. And so you're kind of sitting there on the edge of your chair, hoping that the person in front of you doesn't see that same one because you need it. And you kind of sit there and, you know, really hope, or somebody turns over one of their potions where they get to steal something out of your wild beaker.
Ooh, that's it. That's
yeah, exactly. So it's like this, it's this very like, I don't know, it's almost childish fun, right? But it doesn't get old and it's still, you kind of have to think about it and you still need to, you know, make those, what is the word?
Big plays.
Yeah, that. In your mind, you have to like, you're trying to think a couple turns ahead, right? And you're trying to think, okay, like I pull this out, these are going to roll down and then they'll come out and then this is going to, so you still have to think about it, right? Like it's still definitely taking a little bit of mental power, but it's fun.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'm a pretty big proponent of this one. Honestly, though, I don't like, it's weird because I don't even think I've played the fifth one, like the fifth ingredient. I have it. It's open, but I don't remember ever playing it. And I don't know what it is about this game that it's almost, I'm trying to think, like, why don't I play this more often? And I don't know, like, I feel like there's got to be, there's there's obviously heavier stuff, but there's also like gaming groups that I play with a lot. Like we're not usually playing really heavy, intricate board games. So I'm confused with myself as to why I don't play more Potion Explosion. Like it usually comes out when I go out to the lake and it's going to be like family time. And it's always great for that. But I just don't know why it doesn't come out more often for myself. Is there something wrong with me?
No, I don't think so. It's just it's a game that, I mean, when you are a person that has this, you know, let's call a spade a shovel here, right? An obscene collection of board games. It's easy to miss something like this. Like it's the game is, this is going to sound terrible, and you're going to have to kind of like read deeper into it than face value here. But the game is somewhat forgettable, especially when you are when you are deep in board gaming and you have this large collection. There are lots of games that are out there that have incredible amount of pull, right? Like there's games that just, it's hard to explain, but if it's one of those things where if you know, you know. And there are lots of games out there that just absolutely get their hooks in you, and you just sit there and you think to yourself, man, you know, every time that there's a game night coming up or something, it's just like, man, I really want to play X again, whatever that happens to be. And this game just, like, it is a very solid game. It is a very good, product in a very nice package. Again, it's colorful. It's fun. It has some, like, tongue-in-cheek humor. It just, like, the problem, air quotes, problem. The problem is that it is, like, in a world of so many crazy big-time games, you have to do something to stand out. And other than having interesting components and bright colors, like that's really kind of its claim to fame here. I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with you. I just think that it just for me anyways, it just needs like a little more of a bump. Like it just needs a hook. Like it needs something to make me want to be like, fuck yeah, like let's, you know, go.
This needs a legacy component is what you're telling me.
You know what? If they made Potion Explosion Legacy, I would jump on board. I'd give her a spin for sure.
Like I actually think that it comes down to the fact that there is no payoff to this game.
That's it.
Like there is no end goal payoff. It's very it's very one note. It's a very high note. Like it's a very good note, and it's a very fun game, and it hits a lot of boxes that a lot of other games don't do, but it is still one note, right? And it doesn't have that, you're not striving for...
Kind of like the same way, like you never remember a game of Candy Crush that you played.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Like even if you were a super huge Candy Crush fan, do you remember the last Candy Crush level you actually played? No. Because there's no payoff. There's no like dopamine hit at the end of it where you're like, yes, we slayed the dragon or saved the princess or, you know, like killed the alien or whatever, right? Like there's no thing there. Yeah, there's no climax.
It's just like it's not like there are some games that are really good at providing like memorable moments, like Mansions of Madness, right? I'm still thinking about you were looking for papers while we were getting eaten by dogs.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah,
like we played that like a year ago and I still remember that. So it's kind of like if you're, I guess, yeah, when you're building a board gaming empire here, you're thinking about the ones that are sticking with you.
But with that being said, Mansions of Madness is going to lose its luster when you've done it a couple times, right? Because that person that's going and shuffling through papers in a desk while everybody else is getting their asses handed to them, it's not going to be memorable the second, third, fourth time it happens, right? Whereas Potion Explosion kind of is always fun. Like it's always enjoyable when you play it. Like there's no peaks, but no valleys either.
And I mean, that's a good thing, but at the same time, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off here, but like that's a good thing. But at the same time, it's not, because it's not memorable at all.
Yeah. I agree, but it's one thing that like, Thomas, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, we have this game and I don't know why we don't play it more often. Because I know that once we do get it out, it is really enjoyable and we do have a lot of fun with it, but it's getting it out, right? And it's that piece. And I mean, it's realistically speaking, this is probably one of the heaviest, and we're not talking Gloomhaven here. This is one of the heaviest board games we have because of the components.
Oh, you're right? Just, okay. You're talking like physical weight. Physical weight, physical not weight, complexity. Yeah. Okay.
Like, exactly.
So yes. I was like, what are you? What,
so it's like,
what happened here? When did this?
Someone's kidnapped like, just your wife, you know, man.
Yeah, I was going to say. So yeah. just to, like, the complexity rating on this on Board Game Geek, which is a scale of out of five, is a 1.74 out of five, with five being the heaviest and one or zero, I guess, yeah, being the lightest.
Yes. Okay. So we're talking weight here. So there's a lot of pieces. There's a lot of, like, getting it set up, getting all the marbles in the thing, getting all the vials out, mixing them up. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of,
like, little fiddly shit
stuff that, like, to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, you almost feel like you should be able to just pull out a deck of cards and, you know, like, it should be that easy. And this game just slightly suffers from the too much stuff world, which is, I mean, unfortunate. It's still an amazing game. And Thomas, let me tell you, you need to play the expansion.
Expansion's really good. Like, the fifth ingredient.
I mean, it changes it quite a bit.
I mean, it's open, it's here. I mean, I must have played it at some point. Like, it just seems like madness that, well, it's not the first thing that I have open that I've never touched. I'm not going to discount that, but I'm sure I've at least put the white marbles in there.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Anyway, but it might have just been a matter of, like, I didn't play with the professors or something because I was probably trying to teach it to somebody and wanted to leave that part out of it. I don't know. That happens a lot too. And might be kind of what you're thinking as well. Like, if there's someone new to board games and you've got the expansion, you want to play with the expansion, you got to explain what, like, 16, like, what, there's 8 here and then 4, 12 different potions. Like, luckily you only have to do 6, but if it ends up being like 4 of them you don't know so well, it's maybe a little bit weird. So I can definitely see what you mean by, like, there's a lot of crap to set up for what you end up playing.
Yeah. And it's, I even, like, having played as many games as I have, I still cannot play this game without the manual sitting on the table, because each one of the potions does something different. And because you're changing them all the time, there's no way I'm going to remember what they all do. And so I always, like, have to have the manuals. And that's the nice thing. On the back of the manual is a quick reference for what all the potions are. Super handy.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's a surprising amount that goes on in this game for a game that's essentially a weird match two thing.
It is. I agree completely. And I think it's also kind of slightly overwhelming. Like, I know the first time we brought this out with Adam's little sister, we brought it out with her, and I remember she looked at it and she was like, like, not happening. Cause it's just, there's so much stuff that you feel like, you know, you're immediately going to get overwhelmed. And this is, I would probably say, her favorite game in our entire collection.
Yeah.
And she's not a board gamer by any stretch of the imagination. So
not even close. No,
no.
But again, I think it really does tie into her love of Harry Potter tropes and elements. And, you know, there is some Candy Crush elements in there. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff in there to drag, drag is a terrible word, but to bring fringe board gamers deeper
drag
in.
The muggles in.
Like, there's a lot. That's it. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff there that, like, can bring people who are maybe sitting on the outer ring of the hobby kind of thing, looking at it, being like, you know what? I'd love to play some more board games, but I'm intimidated for any reason, right? Like, I'm intimidated to be judged. I'm intimidated that I just wouldn't understand the rules. I'm intimidated because of the complexity, blah, 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 blah. All these, like, endless excuses that you hear about people who want to play board games, but then choose not to because they just feel that, you know, what, for whatever reason, that it wouldn't be for them. This is a really great game to help those people take that step inward and actually get them to try out something from within the hobby.
Funny side note, I actually think that Potion Explosion is the first game Adam bought for me.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, he bought it for Christmas for me one year. Yeah. So, I mean, hey, it got me somewhere, didn't it?
No, yeah, now look at where we are.
Encased in cardboard forever.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like a slippery slope, people.
Be very picky about what you buy, or you will end up with this.
Learn to like cycle your games. Like the whole world of used board games is vast and is something that I think we all need to probably tap into a little better.
I suppose there's also the whole concept. One thing that I really like that I can honestly say I've never done, but I've always liked the idea of it, is a lot of people, like, it's called a 10 by 10. So you find 10 games and you kind of commit to within a set amount of time. Most people do it over the course of 12 months, that they pick 10 games and they want to make sure that they play each of those 10 games 10 times. So 10 times each, 10 games is 100 plays within 12 calendar months. That's a lot of what I've seen. And I think that's a good way to get some of those games that, you know, games like Potion Explosion, right? Where that you do, you're like, man, I really have fun when I play that, but I just never play it. This is a way to get stuff like that to the table, maybe more often.
Man, it's a heck of an idea. I just started a podcast, so, you know, who wants to do their rating?
All right, so I give this a 5 out of 5. That's a buy it, play it, love it. This is a great addition to, I think, any board game collection. Because of the fact that it does have a lot of variety to it, and you can kind of trade up the potions, and you can start, you know, like, especially once you get into the expansions, you can start bringing in the professors that bring in slightly different rules, and it can kind of toss it up a little bit. Makes for like a fairly relaxed, fun evening of just, you know, like sitting around the table, laughing, still having to think a little bit, and you know, have a couple drinks while you're doing it, laugh and all that kind of stuff. You can put it on your shelf. It can stay there for a year and you can pick it up and it'll be just as fun the next time you play it. And you're not going to have to really go through the biggest learning curve ever to try to learn how to play it again. The basics are the basics, and, you know, it's just the potions that can kind of get a little confusing. So I think it's a huge addition kind of to anybody's collection. I think kids would do well with it. Non-born game enthusiasts would be really good with it. Things like that. Like I said, it suffers a little bit in the sense that it's super heavy. It's like, if I were to walk up to somebody and hand them the box, they'd probably look at me like I'm crazy. But, you know, once you get past that, it's a great game. And I think it's something that everybody should, you know, definitely give a try, if nothing else.
Cool. Adam?
I'm going to echo a lot of what was said here. I think this is a good game. I think there's a lot of stuff here. One of my biggest gripes about the game, again, it's going to come from a component perspective. I am a lover of quality components, is the... In the first edition, as it turns out, I didn't realize there was actually a second edition of this game, which has the exact same components as the first, with one change, which is a change that I greatly welcome, is in the second edition of this game, or alternatively, with the sixth player. What the hell was it called? The sixth student expansion. The sixth student. Yeah. It comes with a plastic dispenser. The original edition of the game, the first edition of the game, the dispenser is made of cardboard, which, I mean, you ask yourself, why do I care? What, you know, what's the deal? You know, why is cardboard not a good idea? It's because you're constantly dropping marbles all over this crap. And like the marbles are rattling around, banging into stuff. It's a small thing, and it doesn't, for most people, it probably won't have any impact in anything. But especially if you do start playing this game a lot, the cardboard components start to suck. the sixth student expansion gives you a new dispenser that's made entirely out of plastic, which is just a really nice touch. It's a really nice little bump up. I like this game. If I were to give just the base game a score, I would give it probably a 7 out of 10, just because of the issues we talked about earlier. One being the component issue of the dispenser being made of cardboard. Again, this is really more of a me thing than an all encompassing. This is an issue that I think that I have, but not necessarily a lot of others would have. But if you are a strong love of quality components, I mean, maybe it would bug you too. The second reason that my score would comes down a little bit is because it does kind of have that diminishing returns factor of it. And just that there's no payoff. There's no climax, you know, take that how you will, lewd, but there's no climax there, generally. Now, as you add the fifth ingredient expansion, my score goes up actually quite a bit, probably goes up to something in and around like an 8.5. And that's because adding the fifth ingredient is nice because it adds more variety, adds 4 new potion types that you can toy around with. It adds the instructors, which are fun little add-on. One of the other things that I really like, and I appreciate Potion Explosion for doing this, is that the expansion is modular, which means that you don't have, it's not an all or nothing situation. If you want to play with the instructors, you can. If you want to not play with the instructors, you can. You can just play with the new ingredient. You can just play with some of the new potions and not others. Like, you don't have to play with everything. And I haven't played with the sixth student expansion, but I mean, I think that would probably increase, just kind of looking at it here on Board Game Geek. I think that would probably increase my appreciation of this game even more by, removing my gripe about the component with the dispenser. And then of course it adds even more potions and another new ingredient. I think it's gonna be good.
Cool. I liked your comment about the marbles on the cardboard thing there. It's like, eventually, like, they're not heavy to start with, but eventually it's like dropping ordnance on your dispenser.
That's exactly it. Like it's gonna, it
can only hold out for so long.
You may not see it immediately. You may not see it immediately, but again, if you're one of those people who does get quite a few plays out of your board games, I mean, I've lost count the number of times I've played Potion Explosion. Like, it's a substantial number, and you know, cardboard will show wear eventually,
for sure. Yeah. So my review, I'm just gonna probably keep it short. Pretty much the same thing. My scale is whether I'm going to keep it in my collection or get rid of it. I'm definitely keeping this one. I'm, you know, on board with all the reasons that we talked about. I don't know why. I'm still wondering why I don't bring it out as often as I feel like it should. But I think it comes back to, like, you know, the whole, it's sort of like Candy Crush, forgettable when there are other things that we tend to go for on a regular basis. So yeah, your mileage is probably going to vary, but when you play it, it's a ton of fun. Weirdly, it says that it's age 14 plus on it, which I think is probably just so that nobody ever sticks the marbles in their mouth. But still, 14 seems wildly excessive.
That seems excessive.
Probably just, yeah, more for liability reasons. As the one with kids here, I'm really excited for when my kids get old enough that they're not going to just swallow these things, and I can actually start to play games like this with them, because I think my kids would have a ton of fun with these. So I think it's a great family title, great to just have in your collection, especially if your collection's small. Like, I can imagine this coming out all the time. So yeah, recommend it if you don't have it already. If you see it on sale, definitely pick it up. Good game.
One more thing just to throw out there real quick is, if you are interested in maybe trying it before you before you invest in a physical copy of it. I mean, there is a digital version that is available as an app for your phone, which kind of can maybe give you a little glimpse. It's a real pain in the ass to play. Like if you're going to try to play with someone, for example, I playing it on a phone, like trying to pass and play would it just, you know, it, if you get it as the app and you enjoy it, go out and buy the damn physical copy, support these guys. And like the app, you don't get the physical components. You don't get the audio component. Like you just like it's you're not getting the game. Like you're not getting the full experience by just playing it on your phone. It's also available on Steam. So that's just to throw that out there.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those like a really big example. Like I think we've talked about a few times. There's a few games that are just as good when you play them on the app or play them on a computer or something. This is not going to be one of them. Like there's something about being able to handle stuff in board games that makes it like fundamentally different. And this is one of those. This is one of those ones, I think.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, I think Adam, you and I have tried to play this on an airplane.
No, it's yeah, we've tried to play the app on like passing the phone back and forth, and I mean like it's good, but it's just not the real thing. It's just not.
You don't get to watch somebody as they like reach their hand into your little holding flask and stealing your marbles. You just get the phone back and you're like, oh,
somebody who just stole your shit.
Yeah. So it's definitely a different experience for sure.
I needed that dandruff, Debbie.
Yeah. Ooh.
So if you enjoyed this episode, please find us on whatever your thingy is and like and subscribe. Tell a friend about how much you enjoyed this episode and all of our previous episodes. Share it with anybody that you think might be interested. Yeah, anything you can do in that respect could be a great help. If you do go onto iTunes and give us a review, a 5-star review, I think we still have, I don't know, I haven't counted any of them, but I think we still have something going on where when we hit 50 5-star reviews, we are going to do a bonus episode or many bonus episodes about our top 10. Individually. So we have one other person who usually joins us that isn't here. So that's at least 4 tens. That's at least 30. Also, I think Adam may be still giving out, I think he was going to give out his Castles of Burgundy original version.
That's actually, by the time that this episode goes up, I'm going to have a giveaway sorted. So, if you're listening to this, where I'm going to do my giveaway is going to be on my Twitter. So I'm going to jump ahead of Tom, which who normally does all of his social plugs first, but I'm going to jump ahead because it's now pertinent information. I'm going to be giving away a copy of Castles of Burgundy, the original edition from 2001, I guess, because they just came out with the 20th anniversary edition. Hey, so I'm going to give it away. I'm going to be doing it via my Twitter account. There's going to be ways to get multiple entries into the giveaway, stuff like leaving a review on the podcast, stuff like following various members of the podcast on Twitter or other social media, stuff like that. There's going to be a bunch of different ways. I'm going to be doing it via Gleam, if any of you are familiar with what Gleam is. So the best way, if you want more information about that, again, if you're listening to this, the giveaway is already live. So it is going to be on my Twitter account, which is @forthewin, @forthewyn. I use the same name across all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. That's right. I'm old, but I still have a TikTok. You young whippersnappers. Also, if you want to get a hold of me in particular, I am also, I stream on Twitch like 5 days a week. So come check me out at twitch.tv/forthewyn. Same thing, FORTHEWYN. And the website, which is forthewyn.com, you can get a link from my website directly to the feed of this podcast to get all of your board gaming needs. Sorry to jump ahead, but like I said, there it is. I'm done. I'm out. Forget it. Mic drop.
So if you want to follow the group as a whole on Twitter, Debbie manages the @CGS podcast Twitter. If you want to get a hold of me for any particular reason, you can get me @TeamRageTom, and feel free to field us with any of your questions there. Or we also have the email @CollapsingGameshelf@gmail.com. We also have the website, which is www.TheCollapsingGameshelf.com, which right now kind of just goes to the hosting website, but you know, you can still get the RSS feed and stuff from there if you want to. You can also follow me on Podbean or whatever, but I mean, probably the best way is, you know, Twitter or Adam.
Yeah.
I like that. Or Adam. You can get me at Mrs. Wynn. That's @MRSWHYN. I am on Instagram and Twitter. Like Tom said, I absolutely try to pay attention to our Twitter account, the CGS podcast, kind of as much as possible and as regularly as possible. We are kind of making some traction. We are getting a lot of followers, and that's awesome to see. So if you guys can just pop us a note in there, let us know what you like, what you don't like, if there's anything you think we should and shouldn't do, we'd always like to hear it. And I will absolutely bring it to the table, and we'll make sure we have a chat about it.
All right, all right, all right. Well, that's all we have for today. Thanks for sticking around. I hope this episode was enjoyable. It is something that we're trying. So, you know, hopefully if this one was a bit rough, we'll get better with these as we go along. You know, sometimes we're going to have to do some things that are maybe a little unconventional to try to make things work. And this is one of those situations. So other than that,
tweet us your thoughts.
Yeah, sure. So thank you again for listening, and we'll be back at you next week with something fun. So thanks again.
Bye.